Hello and welcome back to the podcast. Today's one is going to be a lead on from when I was talking about how to improve your horse's walk and how to improve your horse's trot. And finally, we have the one all around canter. There's loads of different things I'm going to be talking to you about and hopefully you'll find it really useful. So let's get into it. So in this episode, I'm going to unpack everything that I know about improving canter, everything that I know about canter. This isn't just from my horses that I've learnt this, it's from all the horses that I've taught. So that has been like many different breeds, many different standards, experiences, levels. I think I've taught like nearly every breed possible. So I have seen it all. and I always laugh when people come into the arena and they're like, my canter's so terrible. I'm like, you can't shock me. I've seen it all. I've seen people doing the wall of death. I've seen the horses that struggle with it more. I've seen the ones that people are like, I just cannot pick up the right canter lead on my horse and I'm really struggling. I've tried everything. And actually on Saturday, I was teaching someone who hasn't been able to pick up the right lead, the right canter lead for like 5-6 months. And we worked on a few things and she ended up getting it. And it was so nice to see someone like, oh, you know, that like relief on someone's face and just that achievement. So I have had like a lot of experience in all different areas from, you know, the intro horses up to obviously Grand Prix, because that's what I'm doing. So what I'm going to be saying is just all the experience I can pull into a podcast. So the first thing that I wanted to talk about, and I see this a lot with more inexperienced horses or the more novice horses, is the fact that they're not in canter enough. Now, I am going to say something that might sound like contradicting to this. There are moments where it's important you don't just stick the horse in canter and keep going. But often, very often, the big issue, the main issue people have with canter is that they just don't do enough of it. So I always ask my clients when they come in and they say they're struggling with the canter or the canter is their weakest pace, I always say, well, how long are you spending in canter in your training session? So give me like a percentage of the trot and a percentage of canter. And most of the time they'll be like, oh, 80% trot, 20% canter. I'll just do a little bit at the end when the horse feels good in their body, when they feel ready to canter. And I have spoken about this on these podcasts before, that the canter helps the trot helps the walk, but the thing that helps the canter the most is actually being in canter. So the first thing we're going to cover in this podcast is talking about balance in the canter, so the horse's balance in the canter. And this is where I am going to say there's a couple of situations or exercises that you can try that don't just mean putting the horse in canter, but I also am going to cover that sometimes it does work just putting the horse in canter. Again, this is where it's hard with horses. There's no black and white answer to it. You have to figure out what your horse needs mechanically to help it canter, and also mentally to help it canter, and then you have to pick the exercises that are going to work for them. So I'm going to cover a couple, and please do ask in the comments, or just put a post if you're going, oh, I don't know which one I should be doing. So the first option you have is just getting into the canter and letting your horse learn how to balance itself. So this is kind of your, like, I'd say like this is your first port of call. See how this goes. So all you do is you pop your horse into canter, and it's probably, if your horse isn't as experienced, it's not going to feel great. And I just, really important that you don't get hung up about the way of going, like it about them being on the bit, or they're not around my inside leg, or the finer details. What you've got to think about at this stage is you're just, one, you're getting your horse fit enough, their heart rate up, helping them to stay in canter. Two, you're just helping them get used to it, get used to balancing you in the canter. Now, I tend to do, when I'm doing this on the young horses, we just go large quite a lot. If you feel that the horse is falling in too much and you're almost ending up doing a motorbike, then adding 20 meter circles is really important. And if you are listening and you're like, yeah, I really do struggle just to keep my horse in canter, it doesn't feel nice, I just feel like I'm lacking the kind of incentive to get in there, a really good way of doing this is like either counting how many laps you've done and just building on it, or timing yourself and building on it. If you are struggling when you get into canto with being really tight, almost going against them, I want you to think, if your horse is like not in a in like the dressage frame, so to say, like over their back relaxed, then it's really important that you don't sit too heavy into their into the saddle, into their backs, because they've just not strong enough to carry you. We do this with the young horses. We don't sit very heavy into them. We don't, well, I don't use my seat too much to collect them. They're just not really ready for that, unless they are, you know, the supersonic breed ones that just are already kind of very strong at three. And when I have a more of a weak horse, you don't want to sit in their back too much, because this causes tension and this can make them tighten their back, and it also can be just a little bit more unsettling for them. So there's nothing wrong with doing like light seat in the canter, just having a little bit of a softer seat. And I always just think, just really try and relax best you can, and don't stress too much about your position being perfect dressage, like, so to say. It doesn't need to be the perfect dressage position. It just needs to be as relaxed as possible so that the horse can get into it. So if you're listening to this and you're like, okay, that sounds great, Olivia, I really want to do that, but when I put my horse into canter, they run flat, or they keep falling into trot. And I, you know, I can use my leg, and I just cannot keep them in canter. What I'm going to talk about now is really going to help this. I would say this issue is most common with Friesian horses and with the cobs. I've always noticed that they've struggled with a canter more. So if you have a cob or a Friesian horse, you might be listening, being like, yes, this is it. So the reason they find it hard is because I think they find it hard to connect their body and engage their body in the canter. So your job as a rider is to basically help them to be able to engage their core, to connect the hind leg up, and just be able to, the easiest way of explaining it is not get strung out. So I think they're called accordion. It's an instrument where you can stretch it long and squish it together. When a horse is like either running off in the canter, like running really flat, and you almost feel like their back end's got left at the short side and their front ends at the next short side, they basically struggle to shorten their bodies up, you know, like accordion would shorten their body up. So what you have to teach them to do is basically do that. This will help them balance. So a common issue that I see when horses are falling into trot are people just keep chasing them faster and faster in canter, and this doesn't help at all. What this actually does is string them out even more. They get even longer, even flatter. And then the horse just basically just gives up, just starts to struggle and is like, I can't do this anymore. So in these scenarios, and people always find it strange when I say, when my horse keeps falling into trot, I always say to them, it's really important that we do some canter trot, canter transitions. Now, the biggest worry when I say this, people say, but they keep falling into trot and now I'm going to be telling them to trot, then they're going to be anticipating it. But what you're doing here is you're looking at how the body's working, how you're wanting them to go, and you are basically improving that way of going from these transitions. So the canter trot canter transitions are the most basic, easy version of teaching a horse to half halt, teaching a horse to collect, teaching a horse to engage. So this is where we start. And so what you're going to do, in the trot beforehand, you want to make sure that the trot is one in front of your leg. That doesn't mean that they're just going flat out. I've spoken about this in another podcast. So if you're wondering what in front of the leg means, just go check that out. They've got to be in front of your leg. They've got to be connected up. And you've got to have a contact, so they're not on too much of a baggy rein, because you need to help scoop them up and keep them connected. Once you've got that, you're going to go into canter. Now, if you have a horse that runs flat, I would say the best place to ask for canter is going into the first corner of the short side, not the second corner, and not coming out of the corner. It has to be like you're almost riding the horse at the wall. You ask for canter and then they turn. This again helps sit them on the hind legs so they don't get flat. If you ask for it coming out the first corner of the the last corner of the short side, what they can do is just run off up the long side. So ask for it there, and then you're going to try and get like half a 20 meter circle of good canter. You're going to really try and motivate them, but also make sure that you have your rein. You're not just trying to like chase them forwards. It's kind of like half halting and using your leg at the same time. And then you're going to trot. And what tends to happen after this, you trot the horse and the horse just runs off flat. And then people panic and they go, my horse is running off, like come back, like, and they start wrestling. And they go, oh, it's all over the place. I've lost my balance. All the balance is gone. In this moment, what's really important is just take a breath. Don't punish the horse for not being in balance, because that's all it is. They're not just deciding they want to be, you know, naughty and run off. You've got to not punish them. You've got to slow your rising, slow your brain, slow everything. But don't think I've got to slow the stride. What you want to think about is just the stride becoming... the stride becoming longer and slower, not the pace coming slower. Does that make sense? So they can still be traveling very forwards, but everything's just a little bit more relaxed. It's not so quick. It's not, you're not, you know, like when a horse does a choppy trot where they go like very, very quick strides. You want to kind of eradicate that by just relaxing everything. Then you're going to work in the trot until your horse's adrenaline's kind of dropped down, things feel a little bit better. And then you go back into canter. And you repeat this. You just keep repeating this until it's just not such a big deal for your horse to go in canter. They feel like it's manageable, this small amount of canter for them. Okay, great, I can do that. I can manage that, that's perfect. And they'll really start to build their confidence up in it. So once you've got this and you feel that you can keep your horse in canter, happily going around the outside and on 20 meter circles, and it feels really in balance and it feels easy, then what you can start doing is challenging the balance. So the way that I always think about challenging the balance is when can I start doing counter canter, because that's really going to challenge it. But there are a few stepping stones to thinking about going into counter canter. You don't just suddenly jump straight into it. So what I would do to start with is, it's basically about bringing them off the walls, off the side of the arena, because they can sometimes rely on this and cling to the wall and find their balance from that. So my favorite exercise in the canter for this is shallow loops off the wall. I think I've done a video on this, and if I haven't, I will be doing one very soon, because I'm actually bringing in the exercise of the month for you guys to try. And so that is definitely going to be in there because it's one of my favorites. But it's basically, if you look up 5 meter loops off the wall for the dressage, it will have a really good diagram of it. But what this does, it brings the horse away from the wall. It brings their shoulder away from the wall. It brings everything away from the wall, but it really helps you to bring the shoulder over and then not stick to it. Now, common things that happen here, they either fall into trot, they try a flying change, they might charge off, they might get wiggly, but that's all normal, and you just got to keep chipping away. As that becomes easier, you can start making the loops deeper. So start maybe going for 10 meter loops, or, you know, it doesn't have to be 10 or 5. It can be 6, it can be 7, it can be whatever you feel you can manage, and do that. Most riders find it harder on the left rein, because on the left rein, the horses try and curl to look to the left and fall through the right shoulder. So if you're feeling that's happening, just really think about keeping the outside shoulder up. Not letting them bend too much to the inside when they're coming away from the wall and when they're going back to the wall. And then when you've got the shallow loops, then you can start doing things like half 50 meter circles back to the wall, half 10 meter circle back to the wall, doing a little bit of counter canter up the wall. And then from there, you can start trying to go around the outside of the arena in counter canter, and that's really good for balance. But again, even when you're starting to go after these little bit more advanced moves, still really important to be doing that canter trot canter transitions. Even if listening to me here, you were like, yeah, Olivia, my horse doesn't run flat, you can always have your horse more on the hind leg and more collected and more engaged. So it's so important that you're doing these canter trot canter transitions for balance. Don't rush to do the canter walk canter transitions until you really feel like you've got those trot canter trot ones. Also, another thing that I like to do before doing the canter walk canter transitions is checking that I can push the horse and bring the horse back. So the easiest way to start doing this in the canter is actually thinking going from working canter to medium canter back to working canter. So you're still working on adjustability, but you're not really overdoing it on the horse's sitting, which takes a lot of strength for the horses to learn to take more weight on their hind legs. And then when you've got that feeling, then what we do to start to help them to sit a little bit more alongside the canter trot canter transitions is we start introducing things like 10 meter circles. I like to do the 10 meter circles in the middle of the arena, just because one, I know if the horse is falling through the outside shoulder, I can maybe do a couple of circles if I need to. It's not just like one and then off I go. It's just helping the horse, giving the horse enough time to find the sit. And then when they have, I feel like in their body, they've really tried hard and done well, then we'll come back out and I'll reward them on the bigger circle. And it's really about like using shapes, using transitions, using things to get that collection in the canter, not over forcing it with the rein or your body. Because what that can do is just shorten the horse's neck and not shorten the body. I always think about collecting anything, not just the canter. It's the body shortens and the neck stays open. That is not easy, by the way. It's very, very difficult. But that's kind of what you want to be aiming for. So another common issue that people have in the canter, and I spoke about this at the beginning, is getting into the right lead. Getting into the correct lead can be difficult, and especially like I find it on, I say the young horses, no, sometimes it can even be the older horses, you know, if balance is slightly out or they're falling through the shoulder or something is not quite right, they can pick up the wrong leg, and there's nothing wrong with it. I know as a rider it can be very frustrating when you feel like you can't pick the right lead up. So I'm going to run you through a few things here that are really important to remember. There's no magic answer. I'd say the only one that I feel is one of those, not tricks, because it's not a trick, because it helps the horse get the body in the right place. But what I mentioned about going into the first corner of the short side and asking for canter, that seems to really help them. But even then, you need to have what I'm about to talk about in your head. So firstly, you have to have a trot that is energetic enough, engaged enough that the horse can get into canter. So a little bit like a rocket taking off from, you know, when they launch a rocket, it uses a lot of its fuel power just to kind of launch and to get going. I feel like the canter is the same as that. If you don't have enough engagement or the horse in front of your leg or have them enough with you and you ask for canter from a small unengaged trot, the horse has to work so hard to almost pull themselves into canter, and that's where you can feel that their back's dropped. And so you first have to have like a good enough trot, an engaged enough trot. And then what you want to start doing to find the right canter lead, I mean, and this is like, it's a bit of a, it's not something that I can just explain quickly in a podcast. I mean, the thing is with riding is so many different things come into it. And everything, you have to kind of pull everything together to get that perfect transition or that perfect way of going. So I've spoken about it loads before, but making sure that your horse is equal and straight and supple enough. So is your horse falling through the outside shoulder? Is your horse's inside hind leg stepping through, or is it stepping out and to the inside of the circle? Or are they going around in a like almost shoulder in feeling, but not like curved around your inside leg, almost like swinging their quarters out? All these different things have such a huge impact on the canter, but also picking up the right leg. And I think I learned this off Carl. I used to think if my horse wasn't picking up the right leg, that if I let them, if I pushed them away from my inside leg, almost let them fall to the outside, that then they'd pick up the right, the correct canter lead. Actually, what he showed me is it's not going to help necessarily, because you're just pushing the horse out of balance again. It's really about, and it's where it's the subtle, it's a very subtle art. It's really about engaging the inside hind so it lands between the two front legs, so it's engaged, making sure that the horse is balanced from the outside rein, and you almost have this really nice connection from your inside leg to your outside rein. So your horse is in like really good balance, and then when you ask for canter, you can support the outside of the horse whilst engaging the inside of the horse, and then they find the correct lead. All this though is hard to do if your horse is like stiff one way, if they're falling one way. So I've spoken about it so many times in different videos and podcasts on in the membership group. So if you're struggling with what I'm talking about here, there's so many resources in here. If you're struggling to know which video to watch, just ask me in a post and I'll point you in the right direction. But that's something that's really, really vital for getting the right canter lead. So another thing that I can give you some advice on as well is if you are wanting more expression in your canter, so you're wanting the hind leg to come through more, you're wanting the shoulder to open up, the horse to come more uphill, it just to look a little bit more like flamboyant when you want to compete, or you just want it to be a little bit more just enthusiastic and, you know, lovely. A few things that I have found really useful, actually I say a few things, the number one thing, everything that I've just spoken about, by the way, factor that in. You have to have that. You have to have the horse in balance. You have to have the horse equal, supple, straight. But then once you've got that, adjustability is the single most important thing that you should practice. Like I said, once you've got all that stuff, because this is what makes the horse so on your aids, so reactive. Just, you know, when you watch a rider and a horse and you're like, it just looks so easy. And the horse is listening to that rider. And when they say go, they go. And when they say come back, the horse come back. That is literally from hours, not like it all in one session, but, you know, over time. Hours of doing adjustability. And what I mean by adjustability is when you put your leg on and you say give me a little bit more, go forwards, that the horse goes yeah, okay. And when you say come back a little bit now, the horse goes yeah, I'm waiting for you. And this does take a long time to build up. And I would say from personal experience, when you first start doing this, it feels awful. Like you say okay, go forwards off my leg, and the horse either kind of goes like what, or you push them forwards and they fall through the outside shoulder, or you push them forwards and they like, grab the bit and run off and they fall on their head, or they like just, you know, disengage. And there's so many different things that can go wrong when you start asking for a little bit more. And as a rider, it can be really easy to doubt yourself and be like, oh, I've asked too much, or that wasn't the right thing to do. But from my experience, it always starts off a little bit dodgy. And you just have to remain quite calm, quite relaxed. Don't not tell them off. It's not their fault. You've pushed for that a little bit more and they don't know what to do with that yet. But you just have to show them. You have to think, right, we're talking about the forwards one first. When I push my horse for a little bit more, like to a medium canter, an extended canter, that I think about they're going not down into the ground, but I'm letting them open up in the neck a little bit. I'm letting them come up in the shoulder as they go forwards. I'm making sure that they're balanced, that I've got the outside shoulder. I do all this on circles, long sides, diagonals, center lines. Again, checking that I can do it everywhere I'd need to do it in a test. And then once you kind of got that going forwards, when you ask your horse to come back, I have spoken about this earlier in the podcast, don't overdo it to start with. You know, firstly, what I'd say we always do is the going forwards, because this engages the hind leg. And then when you come back, you've got a better hind leg. But then just checking that the horse can come back. And I think when I ride now, probably on the more advanced ones, the younger ones, it's a little bit more fragile. I take my time a little bit more. It's not as dramatic. But on the older ones, we are doing this a lot, all the time, in all the moves, in the leg yield, like I mentioned, center lines, half passes, before a change, after a change, in the like practicing the pirouette work, like everything. Can I go? Can I come back? Can I go? And I'm really lucky that I have my mum sitting there with me, and she really helps me with that. But I guess it's just, you don't want to sit in one pace for too long, like one speed for too long. You always want to be thinking about like switching up and down gears. If you're a little bit worried about doing this by yourself, then you might just need a coach or something to kind of, for some moral support. And like I mentioned, I need moral support in it. Everyone does. So don't be too hard on yourself when you're starting to do it. But it's literally life-changing. It's so, so good. So that's definitely kind of the next stage to getting your horse's canter a little bit better. So I would say that is the general gist for what I do and how I help my clients to improve their canter. Moving forwards from this podcast, if you guys want me to go into anything more specific, so for example, how I get them ready for the simple change or the flying change or introducing certain things or changing certain things in the canter, then just let me know and we can do a more specific podcast on it. Now that I've covered the walk, trot and canter, we can go a little bit more deep into certain areas, and that's fine. So just let me know exactly what you'd want to hear. But I really hope you found this useful. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to pop a post onto the feed so I can see and I can help you. You can also post videos of your horse's canter and I can give you some advice on that as well. And as always, just you commenting and letting me know how you found this really helps me to create better content and also helps people to find them who are new maybe in Boone, or looking for the ones that they want to watch. But yeah, thank you so much for listening, guys, and stay tuned. There'll be another podcast very soon.